When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Hey guys, you know what this playground could use? A wine country, huh?
A redwood forest would be cool.
Ski slopes!
Wait! Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
You never want to find yourself out on the water fishing without the essentials. So it's best to always pack a Columbia PFG Solar Stream Elite hoodie to protect against the sun. I mean, it provides great protection, and it's really breathable so you don't get hot. That's a win-win. Columbia PFG has a lot of great gear. So before you head out on the water, head over to Columbia.com/PFG to shop their performance fishing gear.
Good sleep should come naturally, and with the new Natural Hybrid mattress, it can. A collaboration between Lisa and West Elm, the Natural Hybrid is expertly crafted from natural latex, natural wool, and certified safe foams to elevate your sleep sanctuary and support a greener tomorrow. Plus, every purchase helps fuel Lisa's work with shelters and those in need. Don't put off a good night's sleep any longer. Get a Lisa mattress today for a sound sleep tonight. Visit Lisa.com/iHeart. That's LEESA.com/iHeart.
KFI AM 640. You're listening to the John Cobell podcast on the iHeart Radio app.
We're on from 1 till 4. After 4 o'clock, go to the iHeart app for the John Cobell Show on demand. Also, the iHeart app has the talkback feature if you want to contact the Moist Line. We're good on the Moist Line, or we need a lot of business? I mean, need some more business. 877-MOIST-86. So you can call and let out all your fury and anger. 877-MOIST-86. And Steve Gregory is here. And most fascinating story today so far has been the $30 million that was heisted, on Easter Sunday from a money storage facility in Sylmar. I didn't even know what that was.
Yeah.
There was a whole lot of detail this morning.
So someone's Easter basket was very full.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a lot of eggs.
Yeah. So LAPD says they estimate about $30 million in cash was stolen from the Garda World facility in Sylmar. Now, it's near the intersection of San Fernando Road and Roxford Street. This, if you've seen them, those are those light grayish armored cars that drive around with big block lettering in red that says Garda on the side.
Yes, I've seen that.
Right. So it's an armored truck facility in Sylmar. It's one of three that I think are the ones in Bell Gardens, one in Woodland Hills. So, you know, when they're going to pick up all of this cash from businesses and banks and what have you, they got to store it somewhere until it goes into the federal depository or wherever it goes next. And so there's this sort of holdover facility there in Sylmar. Well, someone on Easter Sunday or some people were able to make entry. And they're saying now they think through the roof because an aerial shot showed a part where they were able to cut through the roof. But there was also some debris and it looks like a hole being boarded up at the rear of the concrete wall in the rear side of the building. So it's not clear. Officials are not talking about it because now LAPD had to turn it over to FBI, and you know the feds are not going to talk about anything hardly. So what we do know is that someone got in and masterfully bypassed the security and got right into the vault. So what do you think that tells you?
There's some employees are getting a cut.
Well, either there was somebody with inside knowledge or someone was hired that had inside knowledge or whatever the case was, but that's very specific information. And in talking to an agent this morning that, you know, has done some of these cases before, and he was kind of running down a list of possibilities, and that was among them, of course, an inside job or someone who got hired and was working so they could get used to the system. It's not clear yet, and I don't mean to falsely accuse members of that staff, but this is what an agent had told me.
It's hard to believe that strangers from the outside could break in to a facility not set off any alarms.
With that kind of surgical precision?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's hard to do that. Hell, I can't even get to the elevator without triggering some sort of I can't try to bypass the elevator. So, and so they're not really sure what time it happened, but you figure with the cameras and all the security, It will be interesting to see how federal agents are able to take that information and maybe get a profile or an MO.
Was there human security working there over the weekend?
That is not known because there are security guards out there and they do patrol the facility, but I don't know if they take a break at certain times of the night. But the way that
they... I was imagining, well, there's got to be a front desk. There's got to be cameras or a security room, right?
Right.
And maybe, you know, 50 cameras on the wall and sensors that will cause things to light up on their control board and none of that?
No. Well, if there was, they're not telling us. And that's the other thing. This is an incredibly tight-lipped case. A lot of news agencies have not been able to get any intel out of this whatsoever. I called my folks at the FBI. They're like, listen, you know, in fact, they were upset because the LAPD wasn't supposed to be talking about this case. They didn't want anyone to know. They didn't want anyone to know.
LAPD sent us
somebody from LAPD. No, someone from LAPD talked to media, and then it spread. And so they weren't supposed to talk about it. And the FBI is a little upset right now.
So was this? I mean, I don't know anything about these money storage facilities. This is all new to me. So is that the day's profits that is being trucked in?
Not necessarily. It's just a cash drop from, not necessarily profits, but it's the cash drop from 7-Elevens. You always see them walk up, and they take their bags, and they go in, they're storing the excess cash. They're depositing the excess cash, goes to this facility, and it's either going to go into a bank or it's going to go into a depository somewhere, wherever the disposition of the cash is supposed to go. Mm-hmm. But that's when you see those armored trucks pulling up and they're collecting cash from ATMs, from casinos,
right?
You know, all that. That's that excess cash.
So it's all business
that
uses this sort of thing. And the $30 million, is that the total receipts, you think, for the day? Or is that what normally is stored in the building?
No
clue.
Was
that 10% of what they actually have in there?
Like you, this is something new for me. I knew, you always know the armored trucks exist. And you see them out there, and you're always thinking, I wonder where all that money goes. Well, it goes to these storage facilities.
Right. Yeah, they don't take it to a bank.
And there's supposed to be some hell of a vault over there that someone was able to access.
Wow. So do you think it's connected? Has anybody speculated if it's connected to that Brinks robbery going back, I think, a year and a half on Interstate 5 at the rest stop?
The Grapevine?
The Grapevine, around there.
And it was that was a jewelry heist.
Jewelry heist. Right. So out of a Brinks truck, and one guy was asleep in the truck, remember? The other was getting a hot dog or something. And
I will tell you this. That's precisely what the feds are looking at right now. They're looking at all of the different robberies and all of the different, or in this case, burglaries. They're looking at all of these things, and they start to come up with a profile. And they're going to look at the MOs of these particular thefts, and they're going to compare them, and they're going to see if they've got any known associates that do this kind of crime.
I never heard that they caught or had even a suspect.
No, that's still an unsolved case.
That's an unsolved. Wow. So $30 million and it's cash. So, I mean, everything could be all dispersed now and no cameras in the place recording any of this.
We don't know that. We don't know. Again, the feds they're not talking. And this company's not going to comment. They're based in Canada. They're not, everyone's been trying to get comment from them. They're not saying anything. They're not even returning emails.
That's the worst thing possible for a company like this.
Well, I'm going out on a limb here and saying they probably had a lot of cameras and a lot of mechanisms in place, but somehow this crew was able to infiltrate into this structure and get into that vault.
And now, insurance cover this for the customers?
Presumably, probably some sort of a bond with the company.
Right.
But $30 million bills, if they were all $100 bills, let's say, $30 million, that's 660 pounds. Because that's the other component. How do they move it?
Yeah.
And if they got through the roof, I think that's why that opening's out the back wall. They probably entered the roof and exited out the back wall.
So everybody today is just remembering the Ocean's 11 movies.
Well, I was thinking about Jason Statham movies. I was thinking about the Italian Job with Mark Wahlberg. I was thinking about all these really cool, you know, heist movies. And this
but I never know what's realistic in those movies.
Well,
it all looks magical. It's like, wow, could they really do this? Is this possible?
Yeah, but you know, think about this here. Almost 700 pounds of currency was surgically extracted from a very large security facility in Sylmar.
All right, Steve, very good.
Okay.
When you get more, and you will get more.
I'll get more.
Yeah. Tell us.
Later.
All right. We've got, I want to talk more about Steve's story yesterday, too, this hour. or later in the show about the 70,000 homeless people that have been arrested in L.A. over the last 4 years. All that coming up.
You're listening to John Cobalt on demand from KFI AM 640.
Coming up after 1:30, we are Karen Bass has no shame at all. For 8 years, there's been a home in Los Angeles in the Fairfax district with up to 5 feet of garbage covering the entire lawn. Plastic trash bags. Front yard of the home on North Martell Avenue.
Did you see all those rats this morning?
No, I didn't see the rats.
Oh my God. I was watching a TV news report and it was disgusting.
Well, the city's known about it for years. And then after there were TV reports, finally Karen Bass sends out a crew to clean it up. And now she's standing all indignant and trying to empathize with the neighbors. It's like, you are shameless, lady. Absolutely shameless. You didn't do your job for 15 months. And Garcetti didn't do it for about 8 years. We're going to play. Later on the show, we're going to have Michael Monks on about it. We've got a clip to play from Channel 5 after 1:30, so you get an idea about this. And then after 2 o'clock, Mark Kloss, because Polly Kloss's killer is up for resentencing. He should be dead. And we're going to talk to Mark Kloss, her dad.
He was dead.
No, he wasn't dead. They never actually executed him. And for those of you who weren't around in 1993 or don't remember it, it's a really heinous case. And if you are giving a break to Richard Allen Davis, the killer of Polly Kloss, you are giving a break to pure evil. You're giving a break to Satan himself. But that's what's running the state right now because you vote these people in. Anyway, back to the heist. You know why heist movies are great to watch?
Oh, I love them.
Oh, yeah, because you end up rooting for the thieves. Because they are so daring and brave and so smart and technically advanced. And you want to see this work. You can't believe it does work. It always works in the movies. Sometimes it works in real life. And the LA Times had like a history because this particular theft, which happened Easter Sunday at a money storage facility in the San Fernando Valley in Sylmar, $30 million. And this is where cash from businesses are stored. You have an armed guard in an armored truck deliver the money to the facility, right? $30 million was stolen. And there's how they got in there and got through security and didn't alert anyone to come and to create a response. It's fascinating. And this is, I guess, the largest within the city limits of Los Angeles ever. The largest heist in LA before this was September 12th, 1997, when almost $19 million was robbed from the former site of the Dunbar Armored Facility on Mateo Street. They caught those guys. And the one Steve and I were referencing happened at the truck stop on the Grapevine. That was $100 million in jewelry and valuables taken from a Brinks truck. It's at 3 o'clock in the morning, July of 2022. They stuffed 20 large bags with jewelry, gems, and other items. The Brinks tractor trailer was carrying them from the International Gem and Jewelry Show in San Mateo to the LA area. And one driver took a nap in the truck. The other went to get a quick meal at the Flying J, which is the truck stop off Interstate 5. And it was 27 minutes. And that crime is unsolved. Now, I don't know how you do that without the drivers being involved. And then they go through other burglaries. A burglary crew broke through the roof of a Laguna Niguel bank and blew a hole in the safe. That was 40 years ago. 10 years ago, rooftop bandits breached a series of banks and strip malls across the San Gabriel Valley, stole $16 million before five of them were caught by the sheriff's deputies. And then last July, burglars broke through the roof of a wine specialist in Venice and ran off with 800 bottles of wine worth $600,000. One of the biggest crimes in California wine history, it says here. Mm-hmm. So there aren't many of these, but each one is spectacular in its own way.
John, you have to watch Money Heist on Netflix.
What's that?
It's Spanish, but there are subtitles, and it's, I don't want to give you too many details, but if you like a good heist, then you'll enjoy Money Heist.
It's, you know, in the movies, they always make the people getting robbed to be, you know, stupid and bumbling and arrogant. And after a while, you think, they deserve to be heisted. They deserve to be robbed. So I wonder what this, what's the management at this place in the San Fernando Valley? It should be absolutely impossible for this to happen. But it did. $30 million. You know, in a way, I hope they never solve these crimes. I don't know why. This is one of the few times, one of the sick times where I root for the criminals. I don't know. When we come back, I shouldn't root for the criminals.
I was going to say, I mean, look, you can root for whomever
you can root for movie criminals.
Yeah. But real life, I mean, you know, it's because the crime is getting so out of control. So then you'd have to root for all the smash and grabbers.
Oh,
and
no,
the
not those guys. No. Those guys, you know, I want them all shot dead. Oh. But the big guys who can pull off 30 million.
I mean, I know there has to be, I mean, there is a skill, I guess.
Maybe if they make a movie out of this.
You have to watch Money Heist. Promise me you're going to watch
Money Heist. All right, I'll watch Money Heist.
Okay.
When we come back, the trash house in the Fairfax District, North Martell Avenue, it was there 7-8 years. Oh, yeah. Look at this. Maybe 10? It looks like the records go back to 2014. And Karen Bass was doing a victory dance today?
Like many of us, you might think identity theft will never happen to you. But consider this. There's a new identity theft victim every 3 seconds in the U.S. That's over 15 million people by the end of this year, equal to the populations of New York, Los Angeles, and Chicago combined. Even worse, identity theft victims often don't even know they're victims. That's why LifeLock Identity Theft Protection alerts you to identity threats, even the ones that don't show up on a credit report, like data breaches, fraudulent bank transactions, loan and credit card applications, and crimes committed in your name. If your identity is stolen, your own dedicated LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will work to fix it. LifeLock protects you in ways that you simply can't on your own. Join now and save up to 25% your first year at LifeLock.com/iHeart. That's LifeLock.com/iHeart to save up to 25%. Identity theft protection starts here.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snagajob is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position. Warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snagajob's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text SNAG to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
Hey guys, you know what this playground could use? A wine country, huh?
A redwood forest would be cool.
Ski slopes!
Wait! Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
At JCPenney, fashion counts for everybody and everybody. It's spring, and with the weather changing and so many great things coming up like Mother's Day and the Wind Down Tour, I definitely need a fresh spring wardrobe for every occasion. This spring, I'm looking for that perfect flowy spring dress for Mother's Day, as well as replacing my everyday basics. That's what I love about JCPenney. They have so many stylish and comfortable options that I always find just what I'm looking for there. Spring is a feel-good season and comes in all shapes, sizes, and colors. The fashion at JCPenney is the same way. Refresh your wardrobe this spring with styles that gets you, something to wear that fits your favorite moments of the season at prices that feel just as good. Discover brands that get you and put style and comfort first, like Worthington and Liz Claiborne for her, each in women's petite and plus sizes, and Stafford and Mutual Weave for him, style and comfort for all, even big and tall. Plus even more for the whole family like Levi's and Exertion. Here, spring comes in all shapes, sizes, and colors. JCPenney, make everybody count.
You're listening to John Cobalt on demand from KFI AM 640.
We're on from 1 until 4. After 4 o'clock, you can hear John Cobalt's show on demand. The podcast, same as the radio show. You pick up what you missed. And talkback feature on the iHeart app is you can use that to get on the Moist line. Or you call 877-MOIST-86, 877-MOIST-86. We still have some room. So vent your spleen and your other organs. This story pisses me off so much. Later on, we're going to have Michael Monks from KFI News to find out what he's learned. But I want to tell you about this now. It's about the trash house, they're calling it, on North Martell Avenue in L.A. in the Fairfax District. And if you've seen the aerial shots, it is a front lawn filled with dozens and dozens and dozens of bags of garbage, and all that's been sitting there for months and months and months. And this, you know, there's a crazy person who lives there, some guy, and everybody says he's really sweet and he's really nice, except he's freaking nuts. And he throws all his garbage out on the lawn and it sits there, and nobody in the city for 10 years stopped it. 10 years. Every time I read a story, the timeline gets longer and longer. In December 2014, there was an official complaint, and the city cleaned it up. But he kept doing it, and he kept doing it, and the city would stop cleaning it. Let's play you this piece. This is KTLA reporter Carlos Salcedo.
From filthy clutter to cleared outdoor space, sanitation workers, some wearing hazmat suits, spent the day removing mountains of debris from this Fairfax home on Martell Avenue, dubbed the Trash House. Buried under the piles of rubbish, vehicles like this Toyota Celica.
It's sad, you know, that it's gotten this bad and it's taken this long.
City workers seen here speaking with the homeowner, who at times appeared confused, even upset about his belongings being cleared away.
I hope they get the homeowner some help for whatever this problem is, because it's mental. It's not, you know, it's not the trash. It's the problem with the person who's collecting the trash.
Sanitation trucks and street service vehicles hauling away broken glass bottles, stinky food waste, and other items. The home cited close to 24 times in the last decade, but neighbors say complaints were never addressed until KTLA got involved this week.
I don't know how to describe this any other way than to say that this is just a tragedy.
LA Mayor Karen Bass not mincing words as she toured the trash site Wednesday morning, saying she just learned of the problem 24 hours ago. The Department of Building and Safety declaring the property an imminent health and safety hazard.
This, to me, is a public health emergency. This is a fire hazard. And I worry about the individual there.
It's unclear why the city didn't take action sooner. Council member Katie Jaroslawski says she's been aware of the issue for months.
It's not acceptable. It's just not acceptable. And we're going to be doing outreach to the community to make sure they know that our office and the mayor's office are resources, connecting them to our field staff.
Okay, wait, stop. I'm about to throw up here. What is she? She knew about this for months? And she's instructing everyone to be educated, that you reach out for resources. They have been calling Katie Jaroslawski's office for months. She's the resource. She's the contact. She's supposed to then make a call and send a crew down to clean up the garbage because that's breaking the law, and that is a disgusting health and safety hazard. So Kenny Yaroslavsky makes it sound like, oh, I didn't know about this. Why didn't anybody tell? People don't know the resources we have. Shut the bleep up. You knew about this. Your staff knew about this. You just didn't care. You didn't care. And Karen Bass goes, oh, I didn't hear this. Apparently, Karen Bass does not have a policy where if people don't take care of complaints, then they get fired, which is what should have happened. Whatever city agency handles this, sanitation department, there ought to be oversight. There ought to be some supervisor going through the complaints and going one by one saying, did we take care of this? Yes. Did we take care of this one? How about this one? How about this one? No. Why didn't we take care of this? What's going on? And if people aren't doing their jobs, you fire them. Gone. History. That's what you do. Think Karen Bass ever had a meeting like that with the sanitation chief? And then the chief has it with the next layer of supervisors. You know there's tons of middle management, right? Any meetings where they go through the list, okay, here's this week's complaints. Anybody check these out?
We issued a citation 8 years ago.
Ouch! It's just outrageous. Absolutely outrageous as they all stand and they're all self-righteous. Like, this is unacceptable, says Katie Yaroslavsky. By the way, is she the worst council person you've ever... Well, there's a lot of competition. I should check myself. She is among the worst council people I've ever seen because she's always self-righteous and she's always outraged. And then you find out she's known about this for years. All right, continue with that story.
But some residents now worry this might just be a temporary fix.
It's nice, but what's going to happen once they leave? Is he going to start all over again?
Well, of course
and
he
we
is.
Made multiple attempts to speak with the homeowner. He did not want us on the property. He's been allowed back into the house. But again, he's also been offered help from city crews.
How? When you have an insane person, because that guy's insane, right? How many insane things does a guy get to do in public and foul the neighborhood before he's taken away to a mental institution? Why is he not taken to a mental institution? Why is he not maybe put in jail and assessed for his mental problems and then locked up? You create a health hazard like that. What is wrong with everybody? Play cut number one. Isolate Karen Bass here.
Is a public health emergency.
Emergency?
This is a fire hazard. And I worry about the individual there, this place catching fire, him losing his life.
Why do people talk like that? It's a health emergency. How come everybody ends on an up note? Imagine talking like that all day.
Want me to do the news that way?
Yeah, do the news that way.
I'd get fired.
Yeah, because it'd be really irritating. Here's the mayor. This is a public health emergency. Well, why didn't you do your job right 15 months ago? In fact, why are there 10 years worth of complaints against this crazy person? Imagine listening to that all day. 10 years worth of complaints, at least till December 2014. So what does the fat genius sitting behind the desk at the sanitation department do when they get another call and another call and another call complaining about 5 feet worth of garbage spread across an entire front lawn? 5 feet. They found a car underneath it? Must have been more than 5 feet then.
And like I said, all those rats that came out underneath the piles and piles of crap.
And rats have all kinds of horrible, disgusting diseases.
And we're not talking one rat. There were a lot of them.
Oh, there's probably a village. Ugh. A village. It says your sanitation workers, some wearing hazmat suits, spent all day removing mountains of debris.
Man, I wouldn't do that job.
But where have these guys been for 10 freaking years? Garcetti, Katie Yaroslavsky, who did she replace? Oh, she replaced that dump. What's his name? Oh, he was a horrible human being. He's so horrible, I forgot his name.
Hang on, I'll Google.
Yeah, the old councilman in that district. He didn't even care when homeless people. No, it wasn't Bonin. Bonin was my stupid guy. Paul Koretz.
Oh, right.
Yes. that waste product. Paul Koretz. Yeah, because he had a homeless guy shoot one resident to death. Homeless guy climbed over the wall. Koretz didn't care. And that's where that poor girl, the poor West Side girl got stabbed to death at a furniture store. This is all the same district. Now, Katie Yaroslavsky's district, where the naked woman was sleeping on the sofa and she made the front page of the London tabloids. And now you have this situation because Katie Yaroslavsky and her stupid staff, and they're all making fat paychecks, right? They're getting six-figure paychecks with their idiotic titles. And you call them up. Okay, all right, you know, I'll write this down and we will contact the appropriate agency. And then nothing happens for 10 years.
You know, when I was watching this story on the news this morning, they were interviewing this guy's sister. And she said that she gave this house to her brother, I don't know how many years ago, and that he's upset with her and blames her for a lot of what is going on with him in his personal life.
Well, that's what a crazy person does. Yeah, right. She's dumping the garbage, not him. You know, I know there's laws to stop this. There should be a law immediately to get that garbage cleaned up and charge him for it. He has to pay. And he does this enough, you arrest him, you give him a mental health evaluation, and you put him in a mental hospital. This never, can you imagine this happening when you were growing up in your neighborhood?
No.
No, it would never happen because they would take care of people like this. They had a place to lock them up and put them away until they found some kind of medication to shoot them.
Can you imagine, John, what the inside of his house looks like?
That is so disgusting. That is so foul.
I mean, I don't even think you can resell that house. I think you have to just blow it up.
No. Yeah, you'd have to bulldoze the whole thing. Because there's diseases in there. All right, we got more coming up. Oh, when we come back, because after 2 o'clock, we're going to have Mark Kloss on, the father of Polly Kloss. And she was 12 years old when she was brutally raped and murdered by Richard Allen Davis, who's in prison, but he now may get resentenced. It may happen tomorrow. This is part of Gavin Newsom and the Democratic legislature's sick dismantling of the justice system. We'll tell you what the crime was, because so many years have gone by. It led to the three strikes movement and getting those laws passed. And it put away a lot of really despicable bad guys behind prison for a long time. And these idiot progressives have been trying to unravel it ever since. We'll talk to Mark Kloss after 2 o'clock. But next segment, I'll explain to you the crime in case you don't remember.
God, that kept parents up all night.
Oh, that was one of the most frightening times in Northern California.
You're listening to John Cobalt on demand from KFI AM 640.
Coming up after 2 o'clock, we're going to talk with Mark Kloss. If you lived in California for a while, Mark Kloss was the father of 12-year-old Polly Kloss, who was raped and murdered back in 1993 by Richard Allen Davis. And Davis was sentenced to death, but of course he was never actually killed. And now he may get resentenced. There's a hearing tomorrow. And we're going to talk to Mark about this, but I want to spend a couple of minutes talking about the case because 30 years have gone by, and this was the first major story that we did and had an effect on, this led to the three strikes law, which saved a lot of people from being murdered, raped, and assaulted. And all these sicko progressives have been trying to undo it ever since, and they've had some success. But when you hear what Richard Allen Davis did, go ahead. Tell Mark Kloss to his face that Davis shouldn't be executed and that the three strikes law shouldn't exist. And I hate to pull this line, but really, imagine this happens to your kid, your daughter, your wife, your girlfriend. Just think about it, because this is brutal. So I'm warning you. So the story is this. Katie Grimes in CaliforniaGlobe.com recounts it. Polly Kloss was having a slumber party, 12 years old, in 1993, Petaluma, California. A strange man holding a knife enters her bedroom, ties up all the girls, and puts pillowcases over their heads. The intruder, Richard Allen Davis, kidnaps Polly, rapes her, kills her, and discarded her body off the side of the freeway, hidden under a piece of plywood. And her body lay there for 2 months under the plywood. Eventually, they connected the crime to Richard Allen Davis. He confessed to kidnapping and killing Polly, and he showed investigators where he buried her body. He was tried and convicted of 10 counts, first-degree murder, burglary, robbery, kidnapping, and attempting to perform a lewd act. And Richard Allen Davis had committed other crimes in the past and should never have been let out of prison. But, of course, he was let out because of laws that passed during the first Jerry Brown administration back in the 1970s. And that led to Richard Allen Davis being free in 1993 to commit these vicious crimes against Polly Kloss. Yeah, it's the same people, huh? Jerry Brown. Just absolute sickos. And, of course, the media, the bastards that the Los Angeles Times have been fighting three strikes, publishing massive propaganda ever since. At the sentencing portion of Richard Allen Davis's trial, the jury recommended the death penalty, and the judge sentenced him to death. And as Richard Allen Davis left the courtroom, he flipped off the judge with both middle fingers. Three strikes law was passed. Our show had a lot to do with it. We got it passed by the California legislature. Governor Pete Wilson came on our show at the time. And it was reinforced by a referendum that was on the ballot. Nobody was taking any chances after this death. It's always made me wonder if some horrible thing like this happened again, would there be any reaction at all? The legislators were forced into it. They didn't want to do it. It was, you know, even though it was a different generation, it was the same Democratic philosophy. Although Richard Allen Davis is human evil. He's a monster. He looks like a monster. Well, he could get resentenced tomorrow because of a Senate bill that was passed, written by a moron out of Santa Monica named Ben Allen. He's a state senator. And it removes sentence enhancements retroactively, this bill. So Richard Allen Davis's attorney filed a motion to recall the entire judgment, including the death sentence. Ben Allen, Democrat of Santa Monica, could be giving Richard Allen Davis a big break, depending on what happens at the hearing. And Mark Kloss, the father, has been dealing with the pain and torture of what happened to his daughter for 30 years. He has been involved in a number of victims' rights organizations, fought the legislature and the governors over many different bills. It's one of the sickest things about living in California, without question, is how the legislators and the governors embrace the ugliest, sickest, most vile child killers. A child killer, a child rapist, and Ben Allen in Santa Monica, the Democratic state senator, wanted to give Richard Allen Davis a break. And now Richard Allen Davis has that break. We're going to talk to Mark Kloss next. So you must listen to this. Coming up.
Hey, you've been listening to the John Cobalt Show podcast. You can always hear the show live on KFI AM 640 from 1 to 4 p.m. every Monday through Friday. And of course, anytime on demand on the iHeartRadio app.
Hey guys, you know what this playground could use? A wine country, huh?
A redwood forest would be cool.
Ski slopes!
Wait! Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
Tired of restless nights? At Leesa, we know good sleep is essential for mental, physical, and emotional health. From memory foam mattresses to hybrids that keep you cool all night long, Leesa's mattresses offer exceptional comfort and support with free delivery and 100 nights to try out your mattress in the comfort of your home. For a limited time, save up to $700 off select mattresses plus two free pillows. Go to leesa.com/iHeart for an additional $50 off mattresses and select goods. Exclusions apply. See leesa.com for more details.
At JCPenney, fashion counts for everybody
and everybody. The weather is getting warmer and it's time to swap my winter layers for fun, vibrant, and cool clothing. With so many fun things happening this spring, like Mother's Day and the Wind Down Tour, it's hard to find great looking clothes that fit you just right. That's why I love JCPenney. JCPenney has so many stylish and comfortable options for so many different body types. I've been blown away by their selection, and everything hugs my body in all the right spots. Refresh your wardrobe this spring with style that gets you. Something to wear that fits your favorite moments of the season at prices that feel just as good. Discover brands that get you and put style and comfort first, like Worthington and Liz Claiborne for her, each in women's petite and plus sizes. Here, spring comes in all shapes, sizes, and colors. JCPenney, make everybody count.
Hey, have you ever used Cheapo Air?
For years, and I really like it. With Cheapo Air, you can book online, use their app, or even over the phone. They've got great prices on over 500 airlines and millions of accommodations. They're my go-to for travel planning. And if you join their Club Miles program, you can earn points to save on the cost of your travel. Book on the app, and you get double points.
Sounds like it's time I tried Cheapo Air.
Call Cheapo Air at 855-247-3279 or visit cheapoair.com/podcast.